Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today, friends, on this Wednesday. God bless you. Thanks for spending 30 minutes of your Wednesday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're going to go back now and hear a sermon I just preached about 3 weeks ago. It's in the book of Hebrews, and it's going to be looking in Hebrews chapter 11. So I invite you guys to church tonight. My associate pastor, Darren Solana, will be bringing the word. He is teaching in Colossians chapter 1. We're going to have an excellent time in the Word of God tonight. You are invited, 6 o'clock tonight, Island Community Church. We are located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. Join us in the house at 6. Join us on Facebook Live, which will turn on right at 6 o'clock as well. Okay, here we go now. This is Hebrews chapter 11. I promise you guys we'll be back by Friday as we continue our verse-by-verse study in the book of Revelation. Okay, does everyone have a handout for today? If you need one, raise your hand. We'll make sure you get one. Looking unto Jesus, that's where we're at. Everyone's good. No one needs one. You know, she just made that communion bread last night. There's just something about communion bread, isn't it? It's hard to swallow, isn't it? No offense. I mean, that's just deliberate. That's just, you know, you chew on and I just think of those words, you know. This is my body, which is broken for you. It just doesn't go down like a Twinkie. It's just, it's a miracle. Looking unto Jesus. Last week, we looked at faith and God's hall of faith. That is, men and women who were commended for their faith because faith moves God. Not talk, faith. And without it, it's impossible to please Him. It's just plain, flat out impossible. For he who comes to God must believe. Now, let's pick it up here today in Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 30. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. And let's pray again, too, before we get started. Lord, we ask for your blessings on this message here today. This is the sermon that you've wanted me to deliver. Speak to us through your word. Open our ears and eyes to the truth. May the power to change be present here today. Lead us and guide us in all truth like you promised. You said all those who are of the truth will hear your voice. Well, we listen for your voice because you are the word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, speak to us now. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Okay. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 30. It says, now by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. All right, now faith is the only answer. Unbelievers and scoffers, because there's no disputing that this happened, even unbelievers and atheists have to admit that the walls of Jericho fell.
But they say that there must have been an earthquake that caused this, and that caused the walls to fall outward, not inward. And my response to that is, so what? What's your point? So God used an earthquake, if that's how it happened. Big whoop, I don't understand. What's the big deal? God uses everything. God uses everything at his disposal, and everything is at his disposal to accomplish his will. Just ask Jonah. For or against? God is either for you or against you. That's the matter of the heart here. The heart is the matter. Now, Joshua said, Joshua 24:14, he says, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river, or the other side of the banana river. And in Egypt, serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Moses said, whoever is on the Lord's side, they come to me. You see, now we're back to faith again here this morning. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How about you? Next up, another person from Joshua's time, Rahab, verse 31. This poor woman. Let's see. 3,500 years ago, she's still called Rahab the harlot. And yet, she's still in God's hall of faith. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. Listen to what she said. She said, for the Lord your God, that's Jehovah, for Jehovah your God, he is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. Not bad for a Gentile who had pretty much never heard of Jehovah before, other than hearing about what God did to the Egyptians. There's 100 million Gentiles in this country that won't even make that declaration that she made today. Verse 32, what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, no, a different Barak, Samson, Jephthah, also of David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, they escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle. They turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. All right, now the key phrase here is found in verse 34, where he says, out of weakness were made strong. And it's the same for you. It's a paradox, but it's true. And it's the opposite of what the world would tell you out here today. Let me show you how that works. If you guys would turn with me, please, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll be back in Hebrews here in a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want you to see how this works. He says, out of weakness, the saints of old and today are made strong. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now here in this text, the Apostle Paul is going to tell us of a particular struggle he was having. You see, he was being roughed up by a demon, and Jesus refused to take the demon away because the demon was just what Paul needed at the time. Hard to fathom, but it's true nevertheless. because as a result of the demon, it caused a particular response from Paul, as we're about to see. This occurred to keep him from becoming proud due to everything that he had seen. You see, God is perfect in what he allows in your life. Verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance, or we could say, lest I be exalted above measure by the things that I've seen. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. So a messenger of Satan, imagine that, special delivery. What'd they say on Saturday Night Live? Land shark, Candy Graham, special delivery, a messenger from Satan with his little hat on, he knocks on your door. Now, concerning this thing, he says, I pleaded with God 3 times that this demon might quit dogging me. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, no. No, this demon's not going anywhere, Smedley. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength, Greek word dunamis, where our word the dynamite comes from. His dynamite is made perfect when you're weak, is what he says here. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, there's the axiom for you here today. Jesus says, my strength is perfected when you're weak, not when you're strong. That's the axiom. And when you realize that you can't do it on your own, that is when the strength of Christ is evident in you. And that's when the grace of Christ takes over in your life. When you're weak, not when you're strong. When you're weak. Now, knowing what he now knows, we've got a therefore. He says, therefore, more gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities. Boy, don't preach that one at the charismatic churches around town. The word means sickness. But you're told all over town to rebuke sickness when it comes. Now, the Apostle Paul says he rejoices when it comes his way. You decide who you are going to follow and believe. Man's bad doctrine or what the Bible says. So, most gladly, I'll boast in my sicknesses. Most gladly, I'll boast in my weaknesses. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast when I can't get through this on my own, is what he's saying. When you can't get through this on your own, then I'm going to boast that I'm weak. And I just can't do this on my own. I need help. God, I need help. I can't do this. I am not strong enough. I do not have on the inside of me what it takes to get through this. He says, therefore, since that's true, you see, since that's true, most gladly I'll boast in my sicknesses. Infirmity, that's what they hang on the sign in a hospital way back in the day. Or in the military, where all the S-I-C-K people are? Gasp. So you're rebuking it, and he's thanking God for it. You decide. You decide. Now we got a double therefore, verse 10. Therefore, that is, knowing what I now know, he's saying, you know, boop, off goes the light bulb. Now he gets the equation that when I'm weak, then I'm strong. It's the therefore. That's why the second therefore is therefore. Therefore, I take pleasure in. Some translations say, I delight in. I delight in sickness. Who does that? How are you doing with that? How are you doing with that? I delight in infirmities, in reproaches. I delight in infirmities. That would be, hello, sickness. Or greetings, oh, trouble. Who does that? Or how are you today, infirmity? Now, I don't know about you, but the Apostle Paul says that he takes pleasure in it. Now, I'm not there yet. I don't start singing songs when I'm sick or have got the flu. How'd you do with that one, Captain Ross? Were you singing a lot the last week and a half, light up in bed? See, knowing what you know now, right? Praise God. So therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. Then he says, I take pleasure in needs. That is, I take pleasure when I do not have anything. I take pleasure when I don't have anything. I take pleasure in needs. He walked around naked half the time with a bashed-in skull. I take pleasure in persecution, in distresses, for Jesus' sake. And then here comes the axiom again. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. And this is why the writer of Hebrews said, out of weakness they were made strong. Because that's the only place where you're going to get the strength to get through whatever it is, trials in Jesus' name that you're going through. It's going to be when you're weak. Because if you've got the strength to get through this on your own, then you don't need his help. You're good to go on your own. When you need his help, then... But it's when you admit that you're weak. Your strength flows through the true force. Sorry, Star Wars. It's Christ Jesus. That's your true force. When you become weak and draw on his strength, which again the Bible calls dunamis or dynamite. God's dynamite explodes in you through your weakness. Not through your strength. And that's the paradox. That out of weakness, the men and women of God are made strong. Not out of strength, out of weakness. All right, verse 35 again. Hebrews 11:35. He said, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Man, oh man, is that lost on us today? Who does that? Maybe they were being forced to deny the faith. The Bible says that they weren't accepting deliverance. Who does that? I won't accept being delivered. Who does that? So that they might obtain a better resurrection. And that is, because there's two types of resurrection. The Lord Jesus said, don't marvel at this. Why are you surprised? For the hour is coming in which everyone that is in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those that have done good to the resurrection of life. Those that have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Daniel says, at that time, that's the same time, Michael will stand up, that great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. There will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people will be delivered, everyone found written in the book. Many who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, there's a resurrection you don't want to be a part of. Imagine that. A resurrection of shame. So this is the better resurrection that these Old Testament saints we're holding out for a better resurrection. Verse 36, still others had trials of mockings and scourgings. Yes, in chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. That would be Isaiah the prophet was sawn in two by King Manasseh. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered about in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, they did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. All right, so this note from Warren Wiersbe. He says, some people are named, others are not. All of these men and women, nevertheless, are among the giants of the faith. The writer sees the entire Old Testament history as a record of victories of faith. Some victories were public and miraculous, such as deliverance from death. Others were private and rather ordinary, such as out of weakness were made strong, or they wrought righteousness. Some were delivered by faith. Others did not escape, but were, by faith, given the grace needed to bear and endure suffering. The unbelieving world looks upon those believers as refuse or cranks or pests. God, though, says of them, of whom the world was not worthy, each of them received from God that witness of faith, unquote. And this note from my Bible Knowledge Commentary. God has borne witness to the faith of these Old Testament heroes, yet they died before receiving the fulfillment of the promise. They did not live to see the advent of the long-awaited Messiah or to enjoy the blessings that would flow from his ministry. All right, now let's move on to chapter 12. We're up to the home stretch. So please, mister, please hit me with another therefore here. Chapter 12, verse 1, therefore. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. All right, all these Old Testament saints and New Testament saints who have gone on before us. And all that we've looked at. And all those who have persevered. And all of those who have held out for a better resurrection. Perhaps your mother is standing here with them. I don't see why not. Maybe your dad is standing there too. But can't you just picture your dad standing there, smiling, cheering you on? Even old granddad, maybe he's there as well. They're ecstatic that you're walking with God now. If they could say anything to you, it would be, keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the prize. Look, they are standing along the road. You just can't see them. They're standing along the road today, cheering you on to the finish line. Since, he says, therefore, since all of these people died in faith, they never got to see the promise, these people are standing along the sidelines, watching you and cheering you on. Seeing to it that an angel will hand you some water along the way as you run this race that you're in. So, therefore, seeing we are surrounded by such a great cumulus cloud of witnesses. Now, here comes the command. You see? See it? He says, let us. Seeing who's watching, let us. Here comes the commandment. Seeing who's watching, he says, let us. Let us lay aside every weight. That would be all these ankle weights that make us like we're standing on Jupiter, with each leg weighs about 200 pounds if you were able to stand there. Because as we're about to see, you and I are running in a marathon race. And besides, everyone's watching. They're watching you and cheering you on. So let us lay aside every weight, since everyone's watching. And the sin. Okay, I get it now. The weight is just baggage. It's all the baggage that we carry around with us that weigh us down. You see, the weight's not sin. Sin comes later. Let us lay aside the weight and the sin. He's going to get to the sin. But first, you see, it's the weight. It's much more difficult to run the race when we're loaded down with excess baggage that's no good for us. Baggage like, number one, bad relationships. 1 Corinthians 15:33, he says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals. Look, if you're trying to run a race, and if other people are dragging you down, then perhaps it's high time to cast off the baggage. Get rid of the baggage. From now on, I'm going to call this from now on, carry-on baggage. That's what it is. And just like the airplane, these bags are costing you dearly. For each bag that you've got strapped to you, it's carry-on baggage. We haven't even got to sin. We're just talking about the carry-on baggage that is attached itself like a leech to you. Baggage like, so bad relationships, baggage like worldliness. So number one, bad relationships. Number two, worldliness. The Bible informs us, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself the enemy of God. James 4:4. Worldliness is heavy baggage that'll either do one of two things. It'll either slow you down or take you out. Those are your two options. Worldliness will slow you down or take you out of the race.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
New Beginnings Funeral Home in Pembroke Pines reminds listeners it is estimated that over 325,000 women in the United States will be diagnosed, but early detection offers higher treatment success rates. Ladies, take time out for yourselves. Schedule your mammogram or checkup today. That life-saving reminder is courtesy of New Beginnings Funeral Home in Pembroke Pines. They are wishing everybody a happy new year and are encouraging all ladies. Your time is important, your health is precious, and you are irreplaceable.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM. As well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. In recent months, at two different synods for two different dioceses of the Anglican Church of North America, I encountered a significant number of impressive young men, mostly in their 20s. In one case, they humbly served the clergy and leadership throughout the multi-day proceedings. In the other case, a group attended a local parish but then chose to join in and stay for the entirety of an exceptionally long ordination service. Now, I see something similar at my own church, where there's often a row of single young men who are faithful, spiritually hungry, and interested in cultivating a deeper personal faith. And I should note that there is no corresponding row of young women at my church, nor did I see similar numbers of young women at either of the aforementioned synods. Though my stories are anecdotal, there is growing evidence of what has